ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we'd like to welcome all the devotees for the Sunday feast program this afternoon at Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir. I'm very sorry to disappoint you. There are many senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada present here, but they're very busy with the Cross Maidan Pandal program preparations, and therefore I was asked to give the Sunday feast class half an hour back. So I'm sorry if I disappoint you in sitting here. I'm also sorry if I disappoint you in speaking something which I have been speaking very often even before. One time one devotee was asking me a question that in your ISKCON programs and lectures, it seems devotees keep repeating the same things again and again. If you hear Prabhupada's lectures also, you'll find Prabhupada repeating practically the same fact over and over and over again. And almost all of us who have read Srila Prabhupada's books would also vouch for this fact, that even in Srila Prabhupada's books, facts seem to be reiterated and repeated again and again and again. As a matter of fact, sometimes in the Bhagavad Gita, purport after purport, the same statements are repeated. And devotees say, Prabhuji, it is very difficult to read Prabhupada's books. It's too boring. The same fact is being repeated over and over again. So this devotee was asking, why is it that in ISKCON, you know, they keep repeating the same facts again in their lectures? Also in the books, the same facts are again and again emphasized and repeated. So I was going through a book of His Holiness Satswarup Maharaj, and Satswarup Maharaj very beautifully explains why facts have to be re-emphasized and repeated again and again. Satswarup Maharaj explains that just like every morning we sit down for our japa session and we chant 16 rounds. It is not that on Monday we chant Hare Krishna, on Tuesday we chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and on Wednesday we chant Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama, and on Thursday we chant Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe. Same mantra is being repeated over and over and over again. And as we go on chanting regularly with sincerity, the same mantra gives us newer and newer realizations. A new person coming to the temple and chanting Hare Krishna for the first time and a devotee who has been chanting Hare Krishna for 10 years, there is a difference between the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. Though the mantra is being repeated in the same way, yet the understanding, the realization is different. So Satswarup Maharaj was explaining, similarly, when we read Srila Prabhupada's books or we hear the same facts again and again and again, our understanding becomes deeper and deeper and deeper. As a matter of fact, as years pass by in devotional service, the same purports of Srila Prabhupada, when read again and again, give newer insights, give newer understanding of the same subject matter. He gave another example and he was saying, just like in a court, the lawyer stands in front of the criminal, the convict, and the lawyer asks a few questions to the convict, and the convict is not willing to reply. So the lawyer repeats the same question again. The question is repeated by the lawyer again and again through different angles. And then finally by force, the convict is obliged to reply. So Satswarup Maharaj is explaining, similarly our intelligence is not willing to now accept Krishna conscious facts very easily. Just like a lawyer repeats questions over and over, we have to again and again read and hear the same facts, and one day our intelligence will reveal that yes, this is the fact and I must accept it now. As a matter of fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna in 3 or 4 verses consecutively repeats the same fact. Soul cannot be cut into pieces, soul cannot be dried by air, soul cannot be moistened by water. 2-3 verses, same thing. And there Prabhupada writes in a purport. He writes that repetition of a subject matter is necessary so that one can understand the subject without any error. Right. There should be no error in understanding what is being spoken, especially for Kali Yuga brains. You know, we are not Shrutidhars. Therefore, repetition of a certain subject matter is very essential. For most of you, it is like when I repeat some things now, you will get deeper insights. And for me, it's a Kali Yuga brain, so it will become more firm in my head when I repeat the same subject matter. So just 2 weeks back, in the Wednesday evening class, I was asked to speak on the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And since I was told just 15-20 minutes back, so I'm just going to be repeating the same class again. Right. That's why I began my class with why repetition is important. Right. I'm just going to be repeating the same class again. I hope you will bear with me, tolerate me. Maybe this will give you a few newer insights. And for my Kali Yuga brain, the subject matter will be understood without error. Right. So the subject matter for discussion today is the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Devotion explains the five most important limbs of devotional service. Nama Seva, serving the holy name by chanting. Vaishnava Seva, serving the devotees of the Lord. Bhagavata Seva, serving the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vigraha Seva, serving the deities of the Lord. And Dhamma Seva, serving the holy Dham or serving Srimati Tulsi Devi. One of the very important limbs that was always emphasized by Srila Prabhupada was Bhagavat Seva. To this effect, Srila Prabhupada started the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class in his ISKCON temples. Because the devotees would be very busy distributing books, managing temples. Therefore, there would have to be an exclusive time where devotees would come together and absorb their minds in serving the Srimad Bhagavatam. And service to the Srimad Bhagavatam does not mean purchasing the Bhagavatam and keeping it in your house. Serving the Srimad Bhagavatam means to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, and to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing, reading, and speaking. Smartavya satatam Vishnur vismartavyo na jatuchit. One must always remember the Supreme Lord Krishna and should never forget Krishna. The mind must always be absorbed and soaked in the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the level of absorption goes on varying at different stages. The first stage is you read the Srimad Bhagavatam and one's mind is absorbed in reading. Yet the mind can waver as one is reading. The absorption level goes on increasing further, one step further. After reading, one tries to understand the subject matter. Simply reading and trying to understand what you're reading is different. When one tries to understand what is being read, the level of absorption increases one step further. Then, one starts contemplating on the subject matter throughout the day as one is moving. Oh, I read that. What is the connection with my day-to-day life? One step further in absorption is contemplation. Right. Fourth is writing down what is being read. Because now the essence of everything is being put down on paper. And fifth level of absorption is speaking. As I am speaking, most of you, some of you may be thinking of something else. Yet others may be thinking, when is it going to be time for prasad? But for me, I am sitting here and my mind is completely focused on what I have to say. Therefore, the topmost level of absorption is when one speaks Krishna Katha. So, service to Srimad Bhagavatam means reading, hearing and speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, I have divided the subject matter under four titles. We will raise four questions and try to answer these four questions, and that will, I hope so, sufficiently convince us that we should pick up the Srimad Bhagavatam and try to absorb our minds and consciousness in understanding the subject matter and content given therein. So the first question is, who is the Srimad Bhagavatam, or what is the identity of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Second is, why was the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken? Third, who spoke to whom? Right. And fourth, what are the benefits of hearing, reading and speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam? Right. So we shall try to cover the subject matter as answers to these four questions. Those who were there on Wednesday could probably swap positions. I will sit down. And those who heard the class can come and sit and speak again. I would relish that better than speaking myself. Right. So first is, what is the identity of Srimad Bhagavatam? And as I always like to quote this verse when this question comes up, there is a beautiful verse which is composed by Shripad Sanatan Goswami in his Krishna Leela Stava. Shripad Sanatan Goswami very beautifully explains to us what is the position of Srimad Bhagavatam or who is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Shastra Abdipiyusha Sarva Vedaika Satphala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya Sarva Lokaika Drikprada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavatam Prabhu Kali Dhvanta Udita Aditya Shri Krishna Parivartita. Firstly, Sanatan Goswami explains to us Sarva Shastra Abdhi. Sarva Shastra, all the scriptures, all the Vedic literatures are like Abdhi, a huge vast ocean. If you want to cross the ocean, it is impossible. Similarly, in this age of Kali Yuga, if one wants to cross the ocean of the scriptures and try to gather the understanding, impossible. So Sanatan Goswami explains that just like the Kshira Sagar or the milk ocean, when it was being churned, what came out first was the halahal poison. The halahal poison was taken and rejected. Of course, that was taken and drunk by Lord Shiva. And after the halahal poison was removed from this ocean of milk, then what sprung out was nectar or amrita, or what is called as piyusha. So similarly, these Vedic scriptures are compared to a huge vast ocean. And Vyasadeva is the person who is churning this ocean. Churning the ocean of scriptures, Sarva Shastra Abdhi. And when the Vedic scriptures are being churned by Vyasadeva, what comes out first is the poison. The poison of dharma, artha, kama, moksha, which is taken and thrown out. And then when this poison of dharma, artha, kama, moksha is thrown out, the piyusha or the nectar that comes out is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, right at the onset when the Bhagavatam begins, dharma projita kaitava, cheating religion, dharma, artha, kama, moksha is rejected. Sarva shastrabdhi piyusha. When the churning of the ocean of scriptures was done and the poison of dharma, artha, kama, moksha was thrown out, the nectar that came forth is Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Veda Eka Satphala. Sarva Veda Eka Satphala. You sow a mango seed and you get a mango tree, and the mango tree is filled with thousands of mangoes. Right? You sow an apple seed and you get an apple tree, and the apple tree gets hundreds and thousands of apples. But this is the tree, Sarva Veda. All the Vedic scriptures are compared to a tree, Eka Satphala. This is a tree where only one fruit grows. And this is the fruit of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like the essence of the entire tree is the fruit, similarly the essence of the entire tree of Vedic literatures is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya. All the different Siddhantas, all the philosophies are compared to the pearls in a necklace. But Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to the ratna, the pendant which decorates that pearl necklace. A pearl necklace is beautified by the pendant. Any Siddhanta, any philosophical conclusion finds its ultimate goal or ultimate conclusion in the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Loka Eka Drikprada. Sarva Loka Eka Drikprada. This Srimad Bhagavatam gives one direction to all people. Other scriptures may give you the path of karma, may give you the path of jnana, may give you the path of upasana, karma kanda, jnana kanda, upasana kanda. Srimad Bhagavatam, sarva loka, ekadrik prada, pradan. It gives one drik, one direction, and that is pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. Nothing else. Therefore, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Adi madhye ante bhagavat ekoy, Vishnu bhakti nitya siddha akshaye avyay. Adi madhye ante, Adi in the beginning, madhye in the middle, ante in the end. Bhagavat ekoy, every syllable of the Bhagavat speaks what? Vishnu bhakti nitya siddha akshaye avyay. Devotional service unto the Supreme Lord Sri Vishnu. Only one thing the Bhagavad speaks. Pure, unalloyed, unmotivated devotional service to Lord Krishna. Ekadrik prada. Sarva bhagavata prana Srimad bhagavatam prabhu. Sanatana Goswami is saying, O Bhagavat prabhu, O my master. Sarva bhagavata prana. You are the prana, the life and soul of all the bhagavatas or devotees of the Lord. When the life force, the soul leaves the body, that body is called a dead body. Srimad Bhagavatam is the life of a devotee's life, and therefore if Srimad Bhagavatam leaves the life of a devotee, that devotee is as good as a dead devotee. Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavatam Prabhu. Kali Dhvanta Udita Aditya. To dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga, Srimad Bhagavatam is the sun that is risen on the horizon. Beautiful examples. Srimad Bhagavatam is the nectar that comes from the churning of the ocean of scriptures. One. Srimad Bhagavatam is the one fruit growing on the tree of the Vedas. Two. Srimad Bhagavatam is the beautiful pendant that decorates all philosophical conclusions. Srimad Bhagavatam gives one direction, one path, the path of devotional service. Four. Srimad Bhagavatam is the life of all devotees. Five. Srimad Bhagavatam is the sun that has risen to dispel the darkness of Kali. Six. One may think beautiful allegorical comparisons. Beautiful analogies. Sanatana Goswami in the last line of this verse reveals to us what is the identity of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sanatana Goswami says, Kali Dhvanto Dita Aditya Shri Krishna Parivartita. 5,000 years back, Krishna left this planet. He wound up his earthly pastimes and went back to Golok Vrindavan. Now, Lord Sri Krishna has returned back again in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shri Krishna Parivartita. We should not think that the Bhagavatam is a book. We should not think that the Bhagavatam is some paper with some black ink smudged over it. Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. Granthavatar, Krishna's avatar in the form of a grantha, in the form of a book. Lord Krishna came in Dwapar Yuga, left. Lord Ramachandra came in Treta Yuga, left. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in Kali Yuga, left. All of these avatars are merciful, but they leave us in a pathetic situation in this age of Kali. Two avatars don't leave us. Namavatar and Granthavatar. The incarnation in the form of the holy name and incarnation in the form of the book are constantly there with each of us. And therefore we argue, Prabhuji, why God is not coming in front of us? God is right there in front of us. Krishna is right there in front of us in the form of his holy name and in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, when Lord Chaitanya was asked among the 9 processes of devotional service, which are the most important one, he said Shravanam and Kirtanam. Hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and chant the holy name. That is our access to Lord Sri Krishna. And as one devotee was mentioning, therefore the Srimad Bhagavatam is incarnation hat-trick.
Right.
It is an hat-trick of incarnations. How is that so? Number one, Srimad Bhagavatam is incarnation of the Lord Himself. Krishna come as Granthavatar. Number two, it is compiled via Shaktyavesha incarnation of the Lord Vyasadev. And number three, the content in the books is the incarnations of the Lord. Narsingha, Vamana, Varaha, all different incarnations described. Therefore, this devotee was saying, Srimad Bhagavatam means incarnation hat-trick. So, this is the answer to the first question. Who is the Srimad Bhagavatam? Or what is the identity of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. Granthavatar of Krishna. He has returned back again for our deliverance. Second question. Why was the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken? In a very beautiful verse, in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, the purpose why the Bhagavatam was spoken is explained. Soham drinam kshulla sukhaya dukham mahadgatanam viramaya tasya pravartaye bhagavatam puranam yadah sakshad bhagavan rishibhya. This is a very beautiful verse, and every devotee should know this verse, or at least the meaning of this verse, to understand the compassion of the Lord. This verse speaks why the Bhagavat was spoken. Soham drinam kshulla sukhaya. Kshulla sukh. Those who understand Marathi, they know this word kshulla very well. Kshulla, right. Insignificant. Useless. Kshulla sukhaya. Everyone in this world is running after kshulla sukha. Insignificant, temporary, material happiness. Pursuing happiness so much, pursuing all different kinds of activities so much, and after all, like they say, khoda pahad nikli chuhi. Right. You take so much effort, and then all what you get is kshulla sukha. Right. Kshulla sukhaya. Mahat gatanam. In order to get that kshulla sukha, how much difficulty and how much endeavor we have to take. Everyone is busy with this, chasing after that kshulla sukha, and to get that kshulla sukha, mahat dukha, great distress, great amount of anxiety. To get two chapatis on the plate, we know how much work we have to do. To get some sabji on the plate, we know how much work we have to do. To rent what apartment in Bombay, right? It's not child's play. If you go to Wadala, you will understand what are the rents there. Right. 1000 square feet apartment, 30,000 rupees per month, 40,000 rupees per month, and I am not joking. Right. Just to get that kshulla sukha, soham drinam kshulla sukhaya dukham mahat. Right. For that kshulla sukha, mahat dukha. So much anxiety, so much distress, so much misery has to be accepted. But the Lord cannot take this. What does the Lord want to do? Viramaya tasya. Now in Sanskrit or Marathi, viram means full stop. Purna viram means a full stop. The Lord wants to put a full stop to these foolish activities of the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls are pursuing material activities simply to get kshulla sukha, taking such mahat dukkha on themselves. The Lord says, no, this is not what is meant for you. I want to put a full stop to these activities. Stop this. But how are they going to stop it? To this effect, the Lord speaks the Bhagavatam. Pravartaye Bhagavatam Puranam. At the beginning of the creation, Bhagavatam Puranam, the Bhagavat Puran, Yadah Sakshad Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, personally, Sakshad Bhagavan, spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because he wanted to end or put a full stop to these foolish pursuits of his own sons, the conditioned souls in this age of Kali. And we actually see how Maya is promising us, take this, you will be happy. Take this, you will be happy. And for that kshulla sukha, we are accepting so much anxiety. One time there was a king sitting on his throne, and there was a man who was walking outside. He was shouting, 5 rupee ka pankha le lo, 5 rupee ka pankha le lo. Right. Buy a fan in 5 rupees, it will last forever, for 100 years minimum. The king thought very nice. So the king told one of his soldiers, one of his ministers, go and get it. So he paid him 5 rupees, brought the fan. And the king started fanning, and in less than 5 minutes the fan was broken. Now the king was very upset, this guy is cheating me. So the king sent his minister, call this person here. Right. So the man went and called this hawker that the king wants to see you. So when the hawker came in front of the king said, you said buy this fan which is worth 5 rupees and it will last for 100 years. It didn't last for even 5 minutes. You cheated us. He said, no, I did not cheat. I said, you buy this fan worth rupees 5 and it will last for 100 years. It is a fact. How is it a fact? You have to keep the fan in front of you and shake your head. Right. If you keep the fan in front of you and shake your head, definitely the fan will last for 100 years. Right. You are using the fan wrongly. You are moving the fan and your head is steady, so it will break in 5 minutes. Right. Correct. That is called as kshulla sukhaya mahat dukkhanam. Correct. Maya is promising us, take this and be happy. And we think, if I get it, I'll be happy. And when you get it, then you have to keep shaking your head. You have to keep putting more and more effort, more and more anxiety to enjoy what is available to you. That is called as kshulla sukhaya mahat gatanam. Right. One time, teacher was teaching a classroom and the teacher asked one child, so tell me, who is more intelligent, a horse or a man? And the child said, teacher, horse is more intelligent than man. The teacher said, you have gone mad. How can the horse be more intelligent? It is you who are sitting in the classroom and understanding history, geography, mathematics. How can the horse be more intelligent than man? Explain. The child explained. Look, I have always seen men going, paying a large amount of money and going to the race course to see horses running. But I have never seen a horse going to a stadium and paying money and see an athlete running. Right. And therefore I say that a horse is more intelligent than a man. Does not go after useless pursuits in life. Even an animal knows that one should not do that. Correct. But a human being does not. Goes to Mahalakshmi and sees horses running all over and keeps betting on that. Correct. So therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, to stop these foolish pursuits of happiness, spoke the Bhagavat Puran. Right. Pravartaye Bhagavatam Puranam Yadah Sakshat Bhagavan Rishibhya. So the purpose of speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam was to stop the foolish materialistic pursuits of the living entities within this world, to turn their attention to the real goal of life, and that is devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. The third question is, who spoke the Bhagavatam to whom? Right. And this has been a very popular question everywhere. Whether it is, you know, your 10th standard Hindi paper or your 8th standard English paper, kisne kisse kaha? Right. Who spoke to whom? In school, this would be a famous thing. And especially history subject, right? In history, who spoke to whom was very popular. Baji Rao spoke to whom, right? Or Queen Rani Lakshmibai spoke to whom? Who spoke to whom? So Krishna consciousness simply means dovetailing one's propensity. Turning your focus from who spoke to whom in schools to who spoke to whom in Srimad Bhagavatam. And that who spoke to whom did not purify us. But this who spoke to whom purifies our consciousness, purifies our heart. And there are at least 5 different references in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4 to 5 different references where the Bhagavatam was spoken or compiled. The first reference is, and this is not chronologically in the terms of the cantos, it is chronological in terms of history. Right. The Srimad Bhagavatam was first spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Brahmaji. When Brahma was born on the lotus flower coming from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, it is explained that Brahmaji was completely confused. He did not know who he was. He did not know where he came from. He did not know what he was supposed to do. So therefore, Brahmaji entered through the stem of the lotus flower. Can you imagine, you know, completely confused, and the whole universe was dark. He couldn't see anything there. He couldn't understand anything. It was a major identity crisis. Right. All psychiatrists and psychologists are dealing with identity crisis, and people cannot figure out, why am I the object of identity crisis? But the beginning of creation, Right. The first created living being in the universe is a pathetic case of identity crisis.
Right.
Doesn't know who he is. Doesn't know where to go, what to do. Completely bewildered. Completely confused.
Right.
And with his four heads, not one.
Right.
What do you think with one head, what we will understand? With his four heads, he is bewildered. With one head, what we are going to do? So Brahmaji, in his utter state of bewilderment and confusion, entered into that stem. Sa itthamudvikshatadabjanala nadi bhirantar jalama vivesha. Nadi bhir, into the stem, entered inside. Can you imagine, you know, if you have a water hose, a water pipe, you entering into the water pipe to find out what is at the other end? Quite a confusing situation. You can imagine how desperate he was to know what's going on. He just squeezed into that lotus stem. And he just ran right down. And when he came to the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, the waves of the Garbhodak ocean just came and tossed so heavily. He was afraid and he ran back again in great fear to the top of the lotus flower. It is at that time he heard the two syllables ta pa. And after performing thousand celestial years of austerity, the Srimad Bhagavatam was revealed to him within the heart.
Right.
Tene Brahma Hidaya Adikavaye. The Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by the Supreme Lord to Brahmaji within the heart. And that is the method of transmission of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is a process of inside out. Revealed inside and then spoken. Brahmaji got this knowledge from within and spoke to Narada. Right now our process is outside in. Right. We are hearing this Bhagavatam and now we are trying to put it inside our heart. So much junk is filled in. Now we have to take that junk off and fill in the Bhagavatam.
Correct.
For Brahmaji, he did not do it like that. It came in his heart first and then it came outside. So the process of spirituality is inside out, not outside in. But sadhana bhakti means outside in. Right now we hear, right now we chant. And then as we become more and more purified, we get realizations. And then those realizations come from inside and are spoken out. Jiva Goswami gives a beautiful example, an analogy. And says that Brahmaji, when the Bhagavatam was spoken to him, it was only four verses. The Chatushloki Bhagavat. And the Bhagavatam that we have is 18,000 shlokas.
Right.
Same Bhagavatam. Can you imagine how intelligent Brahma must have been? Four verses and understood everything. To understand those four verses, we need 18,000 verses.
Correct.
That was his intelligence. Right. Jiva Goswami explains that the Srimad Bhagavatam is like cotton. If you have cotton, you can turn the cotton into a small bud. This size.
Right.
Just compress it and it can be turned into this size. And the same cotton, you can separate out each and every single minute strand and make hundreds of strands out of that same little thing.
Right.
Similarly, the Srimad Bhagavatam is like that cotton. For Brahmaji, only four verses, small bud. But for us, every single strand separated out and presented to us. Or like Radha Gopinath Prabhu gives the example that Srimad Bhagavatam for Brahmaji was like rasna concentrated.
Right.
You get those rasna packets. You know, concentrate and that small bottle inside. Now you can't just drink that.
You see?
You can't drink that. You have to dilute it with water and then it tastes very good. So for Brahmaji, it was concentrated pack. Take it.
Right.
But for us, then it had to be diluted so that we can properly digest it and ingest it within our hearts. For the first occasion, the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken was by the Supreme Lord to Lord Brahma within his heart. The second reference to the discussion of the Srimad Bhagavatam comes in the third canto. And this is a very interesting episode. For a long time I had read this, but I had forgotten it. And I never remembered that there is something like that existing in the Bhagavatam also. And last year while traveling to Pune, when I was going through the third canto, this beautiful episode came forth. And most devotees probably have either forgotten or haven't read this at all.
Right.
That Bhagavat was also spoken like this. And Prabhupada says, even before Vyasadeva compiled the Bhagavatam, this is the proof that the Bhagavat existed. Even before Vyasadeva actually wrote it. And Prabhupada writes this in the purport. Which means this is far before Vyasadeva compiled it.
Right.
So it is explained that one time, the four sons of Lord Brahma, Sanak, Sanatan, Sanat Kumar and Sanandan, they were having a great urge, a great desire to understand the Vasudeva Tattva, the Tattva of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudev, to understand His glories. So all of these four personalities, the Chatush Kumaras, with a great desire to understand the glories of the Lord, took the Akasha Ganga, right, Ganga which comes from the heavenly planets, they dipped themselves in there and they came out at the bottom of the Garbhodak ocean where Lord Sankarshan resides. And Srila Prabhupada writes, this is a great thing. Mystic yogis can do this. Mystic yogis can take a dip into the river Ganges in Badrinath and come to Nasik, you know, through some other river, or come to Allahabad where there is Prayag, Triveni Sangam. And how long do they take? They are even faster than Jet Airways, right? At least Jet Airways would take you 2-3 hours. They take a dip here and they come out from there, right? From underneath. This is waterways, correct? They have this mystic potency by which they could come. So the Kumaras dipped themselves and they came here at the bottom of the Garbhodak ocean to meet Lord Sankarshan. Lord Sankarshan was beautifully decorated with his thousands of hoods around, his eyes half closed, right? And the four Kumaras offered prayers to Lord Sankarshan, glorified Lord Sankarshan in choice poetry, and inquired from Lord Sankarshan about Vasudeva Tattva. At that time, Lord Sankarshan spoke to the four Kumaras the Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So the second reference where the Bhagavatam was spoken was, it was spoken by Lord Sankarshan to the Chatush Kumaras. Amongst the four Kumaras, the person who heard it very attentively was Sanat Kumar. Sanat Kumar had a disciple whose name was Sankhyayana Muni. And Sanat Kumar, the knowledge which he heard from Lord Sankarshan, he spoke the same Srimad Bhagavatam to Sankhyayana Muni. And one day, as Sankhyayana Muni was sitting and giving a discourse on Srimad Bhagavatam, there were many people who were sitting and hearing. There were two special personalities sitting there. One was Brihaspati and the second was Parashar Muni. Both Parashar and Brihaspati heard the Bhagavatam from Sankhyayan Muni. Now it so happened that one of the demons had killed the father of Parashar Muni. So Parashar Muni initiated a huge fire sacrifice with the sole aim and the sole purpose of giving birth to another demon or another child which will kill all the demons. The entire demoniac race will be annihilated because one demon was responsible for the death of his father. So as the fire sacrifice was going on, hundreds of demons were being killed because of the fire sacrifice. At that time, Pulatsya, the father of all the demons, became very much afraid. He thought to himself, God, this is too much. If Parashar continues this yajna, very soon the entire demoniac race, the Asurakul, will be wiped off from the face of earth. I need to protect my race. So Pulatsya went to Vasishtha and said to Vasishtha, only you can do something. Please stop Parashar from doing this sacrifice. Otherwise, all of my demoniac sons will be killed. The Asurakul will be finished. Vasishtha came to Parashar and said to Parashar, my dear Parashar, you should stop it. They may be demon, but you are a Brahmana. You should have the quality of forgiveness. Kshama arupam tapasvinam. The beauty of a tapasvi is forgiveness. Forgive him. Accepting the word of Vasishtha, Parashar Muni forgave all the sons of Pulatsya Rishi, the Asuras. Pulatsya was extremely pleased. So Pulatsya came and benedicted, blessed Parashar Muni, and told Parashar, my dear Parashar, you will be a great speaker and proponent of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which you have heard from Sankhyayan Muni. Thus, Parashar became a great authority on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then one day, a great personality named Maitreya Rishi approached Parashar Muni and said, Sir, I have heard that you heard the Bhagavatam from Sankhya and we have been blessed that you are an authority on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Please enlighten me.
So Parashar spoke to Maitreya Rishi.
And then we know that Vidura approached Maitreya Rishi and requested Maitreya Rishi to speak about the Lord, and Maitreya continued to glorify the Lord. So we have the Bhagavatam which is spoken by Lord Sankarshan to Sanat Kumar, Sanat Kumar to Sankhyayana, Sankhyayana to Parashar, Parashar to Maitreya, and Maitreya to Vidura. A significant portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, second, third and fourth canto, especially the third and fourth canto, is Maitreya Vidura Samvad. The dialogue between Maitreya and Vidura. So who spoke to whom? Lord to Brahma, Lord to Sanat Kumar, Sanat Kumar to Sankhyayan, Sankhyayan to Parashar, Parashar to Maitreya, Maitreya to Vidura. Right? So this is the second reference of the Bhagavatam in the Bhagavatam. The third is how the Bhagavatam was compiled, and this is quite well known to most of us, how at Badrikashram on the banks of the river Saraswati, in a place known as Shamyaprash, Vyasadev was seated, and in his meditation he could foresee the degradation in this age of Kali. One of my friends was telling me a very interesting thing. He was telling me that he was at Haridwar, and this was years back when he was a young child. When he was at Haridwar, how people are so much into the bodily concept of life. Just last year we visited Badrinath, and we went to the last place in Badrinath. This is the end. Beyond this there is nothing. After that China border starts, right? Indo-China border. That is the end of India. So we went to the last place, and that is Vyas Gufa, where Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the last place there. Right. And there all the tourists would come, and I was wondering, why people are not clicking photograph in front of Vyas Gufa. It's all like pages, huge rocks, but like pages. You see? And I saw that most of the tourists who were there, they were standing in front of a tea shop. And they were saying, "Idhar photo kichao mera." Right. And there were professional photographers also there who were clicking pictures. And everyone wanted a picture there. Why? Because the board on top of that shop was Bharat ki antim chai ki dukan. Right. The last tea shop in India. Right. So to show others that I went to the last place in India. Right. People were clicking pictures there. But not near Vyas Gufa. So much into the bodily concept of life. So this friend of mine, he said he visited Haridwar, and in Haridwar there was this tea shop, and on top of this tea shop there was a small board, and this board wrote an interesting Hindi doha. It said that Ram Yug ka dood, Krishna Yug ka ghee, Kal Yug ki chai phook phook ke pee. This was what was written. This was written on top of this board, and of all places in Haridwar, of all places in Haridwar, this was written there. And this was a clear indication how, along with the progress of time, everything goes on degrading. From dood to ghee, and then it comes to chai. Right. And even that chai is not proper now. Correct. Everything goes on degrading with the power of time. Tatascha anudimam dharmyam satyam shaucham kshamadaya. Kale na balina rajan nangshanti ayur balam smriti. With every day in Kali Yuga, things are on a rapid decline. Right. Dharmyam, religiosity. Satyam, truthfulness. Shaucham, cleanliness. Kshama, forgiveness. Daya, mercifulness. Ayuhu, age. Balam, physical strength. Smriti, memory. Everything is on a rapid decline. Especially memory. Right. If I ask you what I spoke half an hour back, I won't say you. If I ask myself what I spoke half an hour back, I forget. Right. So one of my friends came to me and he was telling, I generally forget three things. I forget names, I forget telephone numbers, and the third thing I forgot. Right. You see? I forget three things: names, telephone numbers, and third thing I forgot. Nankshanti ayur balam smritihi. Ayu, age, balam, physical strength, smriti, memory, everything is on a rapid decline, especially memory. Previously everyone was a shrutidhar, simply hear and remember. If the guru would say, okay student, didn't I teach you the Mundaka Upanishad? Now you have to tell me the 363rd line of the Mundaka Upanishad. And the student would just write it out.
Right.
And he would say, why don't you start chanting the verses from, you start chanting the verses from 422nd verse and come back to 401st verse. Other way around, ulta. And then he would stop him. But wait a minute, 411th verse, can you tell me the meaning of this word? And the student would speak. And there was no written book. Smritihi, Shrutidhar. But by the progress of Kali Yuga, everything goes on degrading. Vyasadeva could foresee in his meditation that everything is on a rapid decline. And therefore, it is important to help the people who would come in the forthcoming age. To this effect, Vyasadeva divided the one Veda into four. He compiled the 18 Puranas, the 108 Upanishads, the Mahabharata. He wrote the Vedanta Sutra, and yet Vyasadeva was dissatisfied. He was absolutely dissatisfied. Narad Muni came his way, and Narad Muni told Vyasadeva that whatever you have given to the public is cheating religion. Jugupsitam dharma krite. Jugupsitam means cheating, abominable. You have given them dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Already they want to enjoy, and you have facilitated their enjoyment through religion. Right. Like in Kannada, there is a saying that, is there some Kannada devotees can correct me if I'm wrong. Right. Rogi vaisiddu halu anna, vaidya heliddu halu anna. Right. It says, Rogi vaisiddu halu anna. The patient wanted to eat milk and rice. Halu anna. Right. And vaidya heliddu halu anna. The vaidya said, okay, now you eat milk and rice. So he already had a desire. And then when he came to the doctor, the doctor made that prescription. You can imagine the ecstasy of the patient. And he already wanted to eat milk rice. And the doctor prescribed that as a medicine. Wow, what a great medicine that is. What you desire. That was precisely what Vyasadeva did. Already the people had a great desire to enjoy sense gratification. And Vyasadeva, who was the Vaidya, Vaidya helidu haluvanna. Okay, no problem. Take this. In the name of religion. In the name of medicine, milk and rice. In the name of religion, sense gratification. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Therefore, he wasn't satisfied. If Vyasadeva was not satisfied reading all of this, how is it possible for us to be satisfied by reading the Vedas? The compiler is not satisfied. And yet everyone says, why don't you give us the original Vedas? A person who wrote Vedas is not satisfied. How will we be satisfied? Therefore then, Narad Muni told Vyasadeva, now you compile literature which will exclusively be dedicated to the glorification of the Lord and which will exclusively establish the path of pure, unmotivated devotional service to the Lord. And in the maturity of his realization, Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anarthopapsamam sakshat bhakti yogam adhokshaje lokasya janato vidvams chakre satvata samhitam lokasya avajanato vidvams chakre satvata samhitam. Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam now in a written format, right? So who spoke to whom? Vyasadeva spoke to all of us in a written format. And then the fourth mention of the Srimad Bhagavatam being spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam is Ekada dhanurudyamya vicharan mrigayan vane mrigan anugatah shranta kshuditah trishitah bhrisham. Ekada, once upon a time, the emperor of the entire world, Maharaj Parikshit, dhanurudyamya, picked up his bow, vicharan mrigayan vane, and went into the vana, into the forest, running after a mriga, running after a stag for hunting. And as Maharaj Parikshit was running after the stag, kshuditah, trishitah, shrantah, three things happened to him. Kshudita, he was hungry. Trishita, he was thirsty. Shranta, he was tired. In search of some water, Maharaj Parikshit came to the hermitage of Shamika Rishi. Shamika Rishi was seated in meditation. Being absorbed, he did not acknowledge the presence of Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit took this as an insult, took a dead snake and put it around the neck of Shamika Rishi. Shringi, the young son of Shamika Rishi, when he heard that Parikshit had done such an abominable act against his father, insulted his father, Shringi cursed Maharaj Parikshit that in 7 days' time a snake bird called Takshaka will come and bite you to death. Maharaj Parikshit took this as a benediction upon himself. Maharaj Parikshit said, "It appears that the Supreme Lord has overtaken me very graciously in the execution of my duties. It is His mercy upon me. I was an attached householder. In order that I get detached and absorb my consciousness in the Lord, this curse has come upon me. It is actually the Lord who has come in the form of this curse." And Maharaj Parikshit left his place to sit on the banks of the river Ganga. As Maharaj Parikshit sat on the banks of the river Ganga, birds of a feather flocked together. All the different sages from all the different parts of the world, from all the different parts of the universe, understood. Maharaj Parikshit's birth was wonderful. Maharaj Parikshit's activities were wonderful. Everything about Maharaj Parikshit was wonderful. Definitely Maharaj Parikshit's death would also be wonderful. Let us go and witness his death. If Sachin Tendulkar comes around here, all the cricket premis will flock there. Right. If Michael Jackson comes around here, all rock stars will, all rock lovers will flock there. All the lovers of spirituality flocked on the banks of the river Ganga to see what would transpire at that spot in terms of Maharaj Parikshit leaving his body. Maharaj Parikshit in great humility took shelter of all of these sages. Tammo payatam pratiyantu vipra Ganga cha devi drita jittamishe dvijopasrishtam kuhakas takshakova dashatvalam gayata vishnugatha. Oh my dear sages, oh my dear mother Ganga, now I take shelter of you. Oh sages, now I take shelter of you. Let this takshaka, which is either truth or something magical, let it come and bite me. I don't care. But you continue singing the glories of Lord Vishnu. Maharaj Parikshit asked the sages two questions. What is the duty of every person in this world? More specifically, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? And at that time came in the assembly the son of Vyasadev, Vyasaki, Sri Shukadev Goswami, who was only 16 years old, who was dressed only in the 10 directions. His eyes beautiful like lotus petals, each and every limb of his body well formed, black curly hair strewn over his cheeks and his shoulders, entered into the assembly on the banks of the river Ganga. Right. And as soon as Shukadeva Goswami came in, all the sages, Narada, Vyasadeva, his own father, everyone stood up. And Srila Prabhupada writes there in the purport, they could understand the position of Shukadeva Goswami based on the science of physiognomy. Simply seeing the bodily features, they could understand that he is a Mahat Purusha, a Mahatma. Shukadeva Goswami was given the raised seat, the Vyasa Asana. And the same two questions were put forth by Parikshit to Shukadeva Goswami. And Shukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. Therefore it is said that seniority is not by age. Seniority is by realization. Seniority is by knowledge. Chandobhyo anyatra na brahman vayo jaishthasya karanam. This is a verse spoken by the demigods to Vishwaroop. And the demigods are talking to Vishwaroop and are telling Vishwaroop, because Vishwaroop, the priest, was younger than the demigods. And the demigods were requesting Vishwaroop to be their priest, their guru. And he was denying.
Why? Because I am young. So they clearly said, na vayo jaishthasya karanam. Seniority is not by vayaha. Jaishthya is not by vayaha. Chandobhyo. One who is learned in the chandas, in the Vedic literatures, one who has realizations, he is actually senior. Yesterday, one devotee was telling me a very beautiful story which just literally could touch the heart of anyone. Right? It's a story, a mundane story, but gives a very clear understanding that age is not the cause of seniority. One can learn even from a child if he has realization. All the sages were hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, although from the realistic point of view, he was only a tiny tot in front of them. Right? But he had realization. So, this devotee was telling story that one time in South India, there was a South Indian couple, husband and wife, and they had a young 8-year-old daughter whose name was Sinduja. And this young 8-year-old daughter, somehow she had some medical problem and it was prescribed that she should take dahi rice. Most South Indians take dahi rice. Right, dahi rice is all in all for South Indians. Right, dahi rice she should take so that her stomach will remain cool and she can get rid of her disease slowly. But she hated dahi and rice. She couldn't eat one morsel. As soon as dahi would go on her tongue, she would vomit everything out. So the father was reading newspaper and the mother was pushing the child, please take this dahi rice. And she was not willing to eat. So the mother came to the father, to her husband, the lady came to the husband and said, come on, what are you doing? Reading newspaper, keep this newspaper aside. It is important for you to feed our daughter dahi rice. She is so sick, she needs it. The father said, okay. So the father came to the daughter and said, Sinduja, please take this dahi rice. If you don't eat this dahi rice, your mother will keep fighting with me. Your mother will keep pestering me all the time. And I can't do anything what I want to do. For my sake, please eat it. And the daughter said, I will definitely eat it for your sake, but you must promise me one thing. And the father asked, what do you want me to promise you? He said, that I will ask later. Right. But I will definitely eat this whole bowl of sweet rice, but you promise me that you will give what I want. The father was thinking, somehow I'll go back to my newspaper at least. He said, okay, I'll give you whatever you want. And the daughter called the mother and the grandmother and said, you also promise you'll give me what I want? They said, yes, but you eat this bowl of dahi rice. So she literally held her eyes and her nose, and it was a big austerity for her. She would vomit when she would eat dahi, but she gulped it down somehow or the other, resisting all the nauseating sensations that were coming out. Right. And finally it was over. She said, now it is my turn. I'm going to ask you for something. The father said, please don't ask for computers or video games. I don't have so much money. He said, no, I won't ask that. What do you want? She said, I want to shave my head. She had long, beautiful, curly black hair. She said, I want to shave my head. The mother, the father, the grandmother were taken aback by a big surprise. What? Shave your head? Girls don't do that. And everyone around in your school, your friends is going to ridicule you. How could you ask for such a thing? Right. She said, no, I want to shave my head. The grandmother said, this is the influence of TV, I think. Nowadays, this looks like a new hairstyle, you know. Shaving head, and that's why I think she's asking. So the mother and the grandmother were denying, but the father said, no, we have promised, we should give her. They took her to the barber, and her beautiful black curly hair was shaven off. Here was Sinduja, an 8-year-old girl who was bald now, right? The next day, the father took his bald daughter by her hand and brought her to the school. He knew all of her friends were going to ridicule her. Everyone around would tease her because this was a crazy demand. Yet, she had asked for it and they complied with it. So he held her by her hand and brought her to the school. The father dropped her at school, and as he was just turning to leave, he heard a sound saying, Sinduja, Sinduja. And close by, he turned around to see there was a boy who was also bald. And this bald boy was calling for Sinduja, 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 come here. And Sinduja went running to this bald boy. And they were talking to each other. At that time, the mother of this boiled boy, she came to this Sinduja's father, this 8-year-old girl's father, and she started speaking to this man. She said, I cannot simply conceive and understand the selfless sacrifice of your daughter. I said, sacrifice of your daughter? What sacrifice? This mother said, my son, recently it was diagnosed that he has leukemia, blood cancer. And he had to go through chemotherapy. And because of going through chemotherapy, he lost all of his hair and became bald. And such was the pressure on him that if I go to school, all of my friends will ridicule me. All of my peers will tease me. I can't take it. So it was so hard for me. With the great resentment in my heart, I brought him to school, shaven headed, and he was crying tears. And then your daughter Sinduja came and asked him, what happened? He said, just see, because of the treatment, I have to become bald. He said, don't worry, I'll take care of that problem. And she came home and she asked her beautiful curly black hair to be shaven off, because there would be at least one person to accompany him, right, in accepting the ridicule. The father fell at her feet and said, I may be senior in age, but you are senior in your realization, right? You are willing to make sacrifice for the cause of others. And his father said, I pray to the Lord that if I have to take birth again, you be my mother and I be your child, so that I learn such good lessons of selfless sacrifice in my next life. Chandobhyo anyatrana brahman vayo jaishthyasya karanam vayo na jaishthyasya karanam. Age is not the parameter to judge seniority. It is knowledge and realization. Shukadeva Goswami had that knowledge and realization, and all the sages sitting there heard from Shukadeva Goswami the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the fourth mention, who spoke to whom. And the last mention is in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, where Nimishe Animisha Kshetre, in a place known as Naimisharanya, 88,000 sages assembled and initiated a fire sacrifice for the benefit of entire humanity. And they selected Suta Goswami as the main speaker and Shaunaka Rishi as the spokesman to ask questions to Suta Goswami on behalf of all the 88,000 rishis. When Shukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit, Suta Goswami was present and he heard the Bhagavatam. So he came back to Naimisharanya, and what he had heard from Shukadeva Goswami, he repeated to the 88,000 rishis of Naimisharanya. So these are the five mentions of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Who spoke to whom? Lord Brahma. Lord spoke to Brahma. Then the Supreme Lord Sankarshan spoke to Sanat Kumar. Sanat Kumar to Sankhyayan. Sankhyayan to Parashar. Parashar to Maitreya. Maitreya to Vidura. Then we heard the mention of the compilation of Srimad Bhagavatam by Vyasadev. The fourth reference of Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikshit. And the fifth reference of Suta Goswami speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya. So that answers our third question. And the last, the fourth question is, what are the benefits of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam? Anyone in this world, if he wants to do anything, the first thing he asks is, kya milega? Right. You guys are saying, chant Hare Krishna. You people are saying, read Bhagavatam, what will I get? Right. I want something in return. I can't commit my life to something unless I get something in return. Correct. What will I get? There are hundreds and hundreds of verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures also, which talk about the benefits which one may get by hearing and chanting the Bhagavatam. But there is one interesting verse, which is a well-known verse, which talks about the immediate benefit and the long-term benefit. Right? Everyone is concerned about both of these, Shreyas and Prayas. Prayas means the immediate benefit. Now what? And Shreyas means the long-term benefit. 100 years down the line, 1,000 years down the line, 10 lifetimes later, what? Right. But this verse doesn't simply give us the Shreyas or Prayas both together. What now and what later? Yasya vaishruyamananam krishne paramapuruṣe bhaktirutpadyate pumsam shokamohabhayapaha. Right. It says, Yasya vai shruya mananam, anyone who gives submissive oral reception to the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam, what does he get? Krishna paramapuruṣe bhaktir utpadyate. Unto the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, bhaktir utpadyate. Devotional service to the Lord is evoked within the heart. Nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati. Bhaktir utpadyate. Devotion to the heart, to the Lord springs in the heart. Sometimes people say, bhakti leke kya khayenge kya bhakti ko? Right. Okay, bhakti, that is a long term benefit. That is a shreyas. That by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will get bhakti. But what is the prayas? What is the immediate benefit that I will get at hand? So the prayas or the immediate benefit that one can get is shoka moha bhayapaha. By regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, shoka moha bhayapaha. Shoka, lamentation. Moha, illusion. And bhaya, or fear, will be destroyed. Constantly there is lamentation and hankering going on. Constantly we have been bogged down by n number of fears. There are so many phobias described in psychology. Hundreds of phobia. Glassophobia and so many different kinds of theophobia. Right? Theophobia means fearful of religious people. Correct. Theophobia. Correct. Glassophobia, fearful of bald people. Correct. All kinds of phobias described. Thousands of them now. Correct. But the worst fear is that of death. Shoka moha bhaya apaha. Lamentation, illusion and fear will be destroyed. Everyone is constantly lamenting. I had this, I lost this. I don't have this, I want this. Right. This is the sandwich in between which we are crushed. Hankering and lamentation and we are in between. Correct. Dilli ka laddu jo khaye wo pachta hai. Jo nahi khaye wo pachta hai. Prabhupada would often quote this. Right. You eat it, you lament. You didn't eat it, you hanker. Right. Hankering and lamentation. There was one man and he told us, he was crying like anything. So his friend asked her, what happened? Why you are crying, man? He said, I am crying because, you know, last month my father-in-law expired. So he said, why you are crying then? Right. My father-in-law expired and he left behind for me 1 lakh rupees. He said, you are crying? Firstly, he is dead and he left behind 1 lakh. This guy started crying even louder. He said, what happened? He said, last week, my mother-in-law expired and she left behind for me 5 lakh rupees. I said, my God, this is an opportunity to celebrate. Why are you crying? He started crying even harder. Come on, why are you crying? The man replied, last week, my closest uncle expired and he left behind for me 10 lakhs. And he started crying even harder. Now this man just could not understand why he's crying. 10, 5, 1, 16 lakhs in less than a month. And 3 big menaces gone. Hare, big benefit. Why are you crying? So the man replied, after pestering a lot, the man replied, the problem is I don't have any more wealthy relatives to die now. Right. Previously I had wealthy relatives, all are gone now. Who will give me more money? So rather than appreciating what he had, he was lamenting what he did not have. Correct? And this is what material business is. Lamenting, 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 hankering, hankering, hankering. Moha, illusion. And the biggest illusion is that we are this body. Markatasya surapanam tatra vrishchika danchanam tadva tanmadhye bhuta sancharo yadva tadva bhavishyati. Markatasya surapanam. If there is a monkey in the forest and he gets a bottle of whiskey, sura. Markatasya surapanam. A monkey drinks a bottle of whiskey, gets completely intoxicated. Tatra vrishchika danchanam. And in that intoxicated, firstly monkey, what he will do? Unpredictable. And then when he is intoxicated, what he will do? Absolutely unpredictable. And then, tatra vrishchika danchanam, bitten by a scorpion. What will he do then? What to say? And not only that, tatram tanmadhye bhuta sancharo, some ghostly spirit haunts him. Right. Yadva tadva bhavishyati. What will happen? You can't just say. Right. You see? So the first illusion is that I am this body. And then on top of that, there are so many hundreds of illusions to increase. I get intoxicated with my opulence. I get intoxicated with my beauty. Right. And then there are so many miseries that are hurled at me. Vrishchika dankshanam. Right. And then the mad ghosts come and haunt me. The mad ghosts of ego. The mad ghosts of pride. What will be the illusion that a person will be in? Already monkey and all of this. What will happen? Already illusion, I am the body, and then so many things to foster it. What will be the conclusion? And then finally fear. Especially fear of death. There was one man, he made a public declaration. I have a swimming pool, and this swimming pool has no water. This swimming pool is filled with snakes. Anyone who can just get into the swimming pool and pass through his venomous snakes, there are three options for him. He can choose half of my wealth, he can choose my house, or he can choose my daughter in marriage. Now who would go there? Right. A pool with venomous snakes? No one went. One day a young handsome gentleman did come. Right. And he jumped in. Right. And he crossed through. And not a single snake bit him. Right. When he came out, the man came and said, God, that was great, you know. What do you want? You want half of my wealth? He said, no. You want my house? He said, no. You want my beautiful daughter in marriage? No. Then what do you want? He said, tell me the name of the person who pushed me inside. Right. Will any person jump into a swimming pool which is filled with snakes? No way. Everyone is fearful of death. Everyone is fearful of losing his body. Therefore, the immediate benefit that one gets by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam is Shoka Moha Bhayapaha. One's illusion, one's lamentation, and one's fear is destroyed. Yasya Vaishru Yamananam Krishne Paramapuruse Bhaktirutpadyate Pumsam Shoka Moha Bhayapaha. The Shreya and the Praya both explained in the same verse. However, when the Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken and heard, it has to be spoken by an authoritative person and it has to be heard with an eager, receptive heart. A few years back, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was here and Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was giving a beautiful example to illustrate this point, and I'll conclude with this thing. He said that in the Oxford University, there was a professor, his name was Professor J.L. Austin. And Professor J.L. Austin coined a very special phrase which was called as performative utterance. Now, the very word utterance signifies to utter something. Performative utterance means when you utter something, that utterance should perform an act. When your utterance performs an act, that is called as a performative utterance. Right? Just like the judge comes to the court and says, I sentence the criminal to 10 years of death. 10 years of imprisonment, and it actually, the words perform an act of sending him to prison. Right. That is called as a performative utterance. But for a performative utterance to work, two things are needed. Number one, a qualified judge. If you sit on this Vyasasana and call a criminal, he has actually done 10 murders, and he comes and he says, I sentence you to lifetime imprisonment. Will those words do the act of sending him to prison? No. So he has to be a qualified judge. Not anyone can sit and speak the punishment. Secondly, there is a qualified judge, but if you have not done any crime and he says, I sentence you to 10 years of imprisonment, will that work? No. So the criminal has to also be qualified in terms of committing a crime, only if he has committed a crime. So the judge, a qualified judge, and a qualified criminal. When he is actually a criminal and is actually a judge, then the words that are spoken, the utterance that is spoken, performs the act of sending him to prison. Similarly, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was explaining that when there is a bona fide speaker coming in parampara who has devotion to the Lord, right, who is surrendered to his guru, who doesn't simply speak, doesn't simply talk, but he walks his talk, right, such a person to speak and a person to hear, eager, receptive person who is inquisitive to know what the goal of life is, who is inquisitive to give and dedicate his life and devotion to the Lord. When such a speaker and such a hearer comes together, Ravindra Swarupuru was saying that when the Bhagavat Kathakar speaks the Bhagavat, it actually happens there, right? The act actually happens there. The pastime actually takes place there. And therefore, in the association of devotees where a qualified speaker and a qualified audience is there, the same thing repeated again enlivens devotees. Right? It's not that it is hackneying. It is not that it is monotonous. How many times we hear the story of Putana, Trinavarta? But every time we hear it, if a proper speaker and an eager audience is there, it enlivens. Why? Because it is actually happening. That is called as performative utterance. Surrender to Guru, service to Vaishnava is important to understand the Bhagavatam. One time Giriraj Maharaj, because he was so busy and packed up with management at Hare Krishna land, was feeling very depressed that he could not read the Shastra, read Bhagavatam. So he told Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, I just don't find time to read the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. There is the book Bhagavat and there is the person Bhagavat. So you are now serving the person Bhagavat. Keep serving the person Bhagavat with faith and devotion. Krishna will arrange that you get time to read the book Bhagavat. And even if you don't, all the realizations of the book Bhagavat will come in the heart. So service to the spiritual master, service to a pure devotee of the Lord is important. Otherwise, the Bhagavatam remains theoretical. Gaur Govind Maharaj explains that then the understanding of Bhagavatam is like a person just surfing on the ocean. A person swimming in the ocean will catch some fish. But a person who dives into the ocean will catch the pearls. So a person who simply reads the book to study it or to be a scholar is like a person swimming and catches some fish on the surface of the waters. But a person who serves the spiritual master, a Vyakti Bhagavata, is like the person who dives into the ocean. And what does he get? The pearls of realization of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, quite interesting that the Bhagavad Gita was heard by three people simultaneously. It was heard by Arjuna directly. It was heard by Sanjaya. And when Sanjaya was repeating to Dhritarashtra, it was heard by Dhritarashtra. After the Bhagavad Gita was heard by Arjuna, what was his conclusion? Nashto moho smritir labdhva. My illusions are dispelled. Now I shall do what you say, Krishna. Tvat prasadat. By your mercy, Krishna. When Sanjaya heard the Gita, the last chapter of the Gita, he says, Rishyami cha muhur muhur. I am feeling happy. Roma harshanam, my hair is standing on the end by hearing this dialogue. How? Vyasa prasadat. By the mercy of Vyasa. Arjuna is saying, Tvat prasadat, by your mercy, Krishna, you are my guru. Sanjaya is saying, Vyasa prasadat, he is the disciple of Vyasa. But Dhritarashtra, you don't find any hair standing on end. You don't find any transformation, any surrender in his life. Why? No spiritual master. No service to a Bhagavata. And therefore, Dhritarashtra continued his hostility. Dhritarashtra continued his animosity. He had heard Gita, yet he wanted to embrace Bhima and kill him after the battle of Kurukshetra was over. It took none less than a Mahabhagavat like Vidura to insert into the open ears of Vidura chastising and reprimanding words. Get out! You are staying in the house of your enemy like a dog surviving on the remnants thrown at you. Get out! Right. And then when he got the mercy, the prasad of Vidura, Vidura prasadat, then those words made sense and he went towards the north. Tvat prasadat, Vyasa prasadat, and then finally by the mercy of Vidura, those words made sense to Dhritarashtra. Thus, without Bhagavat Seva, the service to a great devotee, service to the spiritual master, everything remains theoretical on paper only. Thus it is imperative that devotees should read the Srimad Bhagavatam under the guidance of great Bhagavatams. Jao Bhagavat Padegiya Bhagavate Rasthane, Lord Chaitanya told. If you want to study Bhagavat, go to the Bhagavat, take guidance from him and serve him. So I would like to summarize what we discussed this afternoon. We discussed answers to four questions. Firstly, who is Srimad Bhagavatam? From the beautiful verse of Sanatana Goswami, we concluded Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. Incarnation of Krishna, compiled by incarnation Vyasadeva, describing incarnations, Narsingha, Varaha Puran, Varaha, Kurma, etc. Why the Bhagavatam was spoken? Kshulla Sukhaya, Mahadgatanam Viramaya. To put a full stop to the foolish pursuits of the living entities and turn them towards the goal of life. Who spoke the Bhagavatam to whom? The Supreme Lord spoke to Brahma. The Supreme Lord spoke to Sanat Kumar, Sankhyayan, Parashar, Maitreya, Vidura. Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. Later it was spoken by Shukadev to Parikshit. And finally, Suta Goswami to the sages of Naimisharanya. What are the benefits I get when I study and hear and read the Bhagavatam? Immediate benefits. My lamentation, my fear and my illusions will be dispelled. Long term benefit or shreyas, bhaktir utpadyate. Devotion will spring in my heart. How should the Srimad Bhagavatam be heard? The Srimad Bhagavatam should not be heard and read and simply tried to be understood in a scholarly way. It should be done under the guidance of a devotee by service to the spiritual master. Arjuna and Sanjaya got the benefit because they got the mercy of their gurus. Dhritarashtra did not till Vidura gave his mercy. So only by the mercy of a Vyakti Bhagavat can the book Bhagavat be revealed to us. And we have a Vyakti Bhagavat like Srila Prabhupada, who mercifully gave us this Bhakti Vedanta purports. And if we carefully study the Bhakti Vedanta purports, Prabhupada said, everything is in my books. So if we just regularly study Srila Prabhupada's books, and under the guidance of his senior disciples, and all of his disciples and devotees, if we try to practice the process of Krishna consciousness, success is assured to us. Bhakti will arise in our heart. Shoka, moha and bhaya will be destroyed. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki Srila Prabhupada ki Gaura Premanande. Please excuse me once again to just repetition. You know, I just spoke this 2 weeks back and I was told just urgently. So please excuse me and forgive any offenses. Oh, one more thing. His Grace Shyam Sundar Prabhu requested to make this announcement. He has gone to Cross Maidan. So he told me to once again remind all the devotees of the Cross Maidan Pandal, which is beginning from the 12th of this month, which will go up to the 20th of this month. And he asked me what to say also. He told me to remind devotees. The first is, he said, as is written in this pamphlet also, that there are so many so-called sadhus in India today. But a genuine sadhu like Srila Prabhupada, who has brought out such a change throughout the world, is forgotten. People in India may know ISKCON, but they don't know Prabhupada. So to make people in India know Srila Prabhupada, especially in Mumbai, know Srila Prabhupada, who is Srila Prabhupada, this Cross Maidan festival is organized, and therefore it is called Prabhupada's Legacy Continues to Live.
Right.
Second is to bring a cultural renaissance in the youth of Mumbai. So many youngsters are attracted to the path of Krishna consciousness now. Let them come to the Cross Maidan program and see what the Hare Krishna movement is all about. So many different international centers and devotees are participating. Let them get a know-how of what ISKCON is. And let them get an understanding of how to dedicate themselves more. So to attract the youth of Mumbai. And thirdly, to get all the devotees from all over the world together.
Right.
A global get-together, as you would call it. The devotees from all over the world will be coming, and then they will be going to Mayapur for the Gaura Purnima festival. And this is an important announcement. Since we have this Cross Maidan program, many volunteers will be required to distribute the pamphlets which have been printed, the flyers which have been printed to make public.